You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last Thursday, I spoke to Nikita Iman, who made it to the top five of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under Season 4. She is a Tamaki Makaurau queen, but has since moved over the ditch to Oz. But yeah, we just had a chat about her time on the show, what's next for her, all that good stuff. All right, let's start from the beginning, Nikita. Yes. What was your reaction like being picked for the season of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under?
It was my first time applying, though it has been on my mind to do for the past couple of seasons. And so to me, it was kind of all about timing. And so when I did apply, I felt like as if I was a little bit early, but everything in my life kind of fell in place to apply. And I kind of knew that Down Under needed something fresh, something different. And so when I got the call, I was so excited. I was so excited that I can finally bring my style of drag to the show. Also really nervous, and then also dreading the prep, because, oh my gosh, the amount of prep that we had to do in that little time. And then I even need myself and gave myself even less time.
Pretty incredible being accepted on your first application, because I've spoken to the other queens and they were saying this is like their third application, so it's quite incredible you got picked on your first.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, you know, it feels correct.
fair enough. All right, let's head on to the Maxi Challenge, eh? This episode's challenge was a sort of roast off against Judge Riles Nicholson. Was this challenge something that you were predicting? Was this on the cards for you, or did this kind of come out of left field?
I knew that there was going to be some sort of comedy challenge, whether it be stand-up comedy or whether it be a roast. I just knew that it was going to be, you know, a comedy challenge. And so, kind of preparing for I kind of knew that it wasn't necessarily my strength, but I knew that if I got a couple of laughs, I was happy with it, because I'm not really a mic girl. I haven't really done a lot of hosting, and so this was kind of my first time hosting, first time standing in front of people and like talking, and first time delivering jokes. So it was a little bit overwhelming in the moment, and I didn't really get nervous until the actual moment of the challenge, but overall, I was so happy with what I did. I got a few laughs, which was fab. Not so other laughs as well, and that's also fab. Overall, I'm really happy.
And would you say this would have been the most challenging challenge for you?
Yeah, I'd probably say so. I think like having to sit down and write jokes was a challenge in its own. And then obviously when you're there alone, you have no one to kind of bounce, you know, your ideas off. So, you know, I was just kind of gaslighting myself, be like, okay, well, that sounds funny. And then just writing it down and then accepting that. But yeah, I think that was definitely one of the challenges for me, was sitting down writing kind of my jokes and then also the layout, and then also not really having anyone to bounce off, kind of doing workshops with. So
yeah, definitely, because this runs quite differently. I think it's called Snatch Game, right?
Yes,
I keep hearing the name. So because like with Snatch Games, obviously the whole point is that you bounce off of the other queens, but with this one, like you're saying, you have to write the jokes and say that. How different of an experience was this compared to like Snatch Game, for example?
Well, my Snatch Game wasn't really the best, but I went in with a character that I had kind of workshopped. It could have been workshopped more. Whereas this one with the roast, you kind of have jokes that you've come pre-written, but then you also had to kind of like mend it to what's happening. So like you never really know whether if you can use those jokes or not. So I did have to come up with a lot of fresh jokes, but they're two completely different like challenges. I mean, one, you have to impersonate and kind of, you know, come up with that character on the spot. Whereas the roast, you know, a lot of girls do a character with the roast, but then we all just kind of went for ourselves. But yeah, they're two completely different challenges. A little bit kind of similar when it comes to improv as well. You know, you kind of improv in your little moments. But yeah, I did find that Snatch Game, the acting challenge and the comedy challenge were definitely the challenges that I knew that I had to overcome.
Do you think your experience with this challenge would have been different if you had to roast someone that maybe like different to Reese Nicholson, maybe Michelle Visage or?
Maybe. I mean, with Michelle, you kind of had to be a little bit inventive with your jokes, because everyone's heard the jokes from Michelle, whereas like Reese was kind of a different opportunity to kind of joke, you know, to roast someone different as well. I think they both would have had their own challenges for sure. Yeah. Would
And
I have done better? Maybe.
look, you did great. You did great.
Thanks, baby.
Yeah, so obviously you were ordered with this challenge. Lazy Susan, as the winner of the last Maxi Challenge, was able to choose which order you guys hosted. Were you happy with your where you were ordered?
Yeah, so I had wanted to go second, and that was mainly because I didn't really want to sit there. Well, firstly, I didn't want to open, because to open a show is not necessarily something that I had the experience doing just yet. And then I kind of wanted to go second before, you know, like having to sit there and kind of sit through other people's jokes. I feel like if I did that, I would have gotten more nervous. So I was happy just to go first and get it out of the way. So yeah, I was very happy with my order.
Fair enough. That's kind of like the same sort of principle I had when I was in university with like speeches and stuff like that.
Yeah, presentations, yeah.
Yep. Just kind of want to get out the way, make your mark, and then just see what the other queens do. Maybe not in
and
speeches.
Then sit down
but...
and enjoy.
yep, definitely. Now, let's move on to the... Oh, actually, sorry, one more thing. During the episode, you mentioned your experience with ballroom scene. How do you think the ballroom scene has had an impact on your drag?
Well, I started drag when I started the ballroom scene.
Right.
So like as I was kind of finessing my drag, I was also doing my community engagement with the ballroom scene. And so when I did my community engagement, my drag inspiration was starting to be from the ballroom scene and kind of the girls in the scenes and the queens in the scenes and kind of like the lingo, the language and the background. And so I just kind of adapted my drag to that because I was, you know, learning both ways. And so all my drag now, I kind of put my best foot forward with always carrying my ballroom side with me, because that's just where, whenever I think about, you know, when we were doing the runway themes, coming up with our concepts and our looks, I just always pulled back from, you know, history and moments that happened within the ballroom scene. So to me, it just comes organically.
Would you say your experience as in ballroom is similar to drag as well? Like, are there a lot of similarities between the two?
Yes and no. I mean, the ballroom scene here in Tāmaki and in Sydney is very POC heavy. And so I found myself really connected with a lot of people that I, you know, I have similar lived experiences to me. So I found myself really able to kind of grow and also learn in the ballroom scene. In the drag scene, it is predominantly white. And so I did find it quite hard for myself to kind of navigate or kind of switch over from ballroom to the drag scene. But I mean, the drag queens have been so lovely and so welcoming to me. In terms of like our numbers and our essence, it's all very similar. I mean, it's all performance based, but the ballroom scene is kind of family first as the foundation. And then everything else is just added on top of that. The ballroom scene definitely helped me in Drag Race itself because, you know, when you go to balls, you do competitions and you walk categories. And I think that competition mindset over the years really helped me navigate the competition of Drag Race, not really getting in my head too much, really enjoying it and kind of having just a key with the girls, which is what, yeah, is very ballroom.
Yeah, love that, love that. You mentioned your experiences with the drag queens on the show. I mean, what was your experience like? Did you get along with them very easily?
We surprisingly all got along really well, which was really amazing for TV, but it was kind of a little bit boring. And I was like, oh my gosh, like who's going to say shit and stuff? But like, we all just got along. I think we knew the type of season that we wanted to give, you know, individually going in. And I think that because we were very supportive and, you know, if we celebrated everyone, it really gave a room for all the girls to grow and kind of really be highlighted. And I find that we were still very catty. I mean, we're 10 queens in a room.
Yeah.
We were all very open with our opinions.
Yeah.
As drag queens are. And so
yep.
I find that the girls, because we all kind of, you know, it's just natural back and forth banter with queens. And so I think that definitely made it a very enjoyable season, being there and then also watching it as well.
Mm.
Just the kind of chemistry that we all have as a cast. I mean, some days some girls were getting on my nerves. But
yep.
overall, as a whole experience, I'm grateful to walk away with such a strong sister.
Yeah, I mean, like, the experience in itself sounds very, very stressful. So obviously there are going to be some comments thrown
Yeah.
out and like this and that. Like, that just makes sense, eh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Some days when, we were just filming after 10 hours of filming, the last voice I want to hear is Vibes, and that bitch would just not shut the fuck up. But I don't know if I can say that.
You can say it. Look, BF, it's BFM. You know, you can say, well, not
I
whatever you
love
want, but
BFM. I used to listen to BFM all the time.
love it. Used to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know where to get it in Sydney.
You
I don't know
can.
where to get all the New Zealand stations in Australia.
Not to plug BFM, but you can listen online at 95bfm.com.
Period.
Yep,
I'll see
love
you
that.
online then.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the runway theme, which was Cape Fierce. Absolutely stunning outfit, by the way. Beautiful.
Thank you.
What was your thought process behind curating this outfit?
That was the first outfit that I made for the show. When I got the call, I kind of knew, and then I got the list, I kind of knew that that was a style of the outfit that I did. It was, I think it was a Schiaparelli runway from last year where it had the asymmetrical dress and then the really heavy, sharp cape. Yeah, and then I definitely wanted to give almost like a bridal vibe as well with the outfit. And I just, yeah, it was definitely a beautiful outfit to go home in. And it was just a really amazing showcase because I think, yeah, the finale was the only outfit that I haven't showcased. And to be able to showcase almost my whole package was amazing. And then this being my last outfit on the show, I felt so beautiful when I left.
I want to touch on the bridal comment you just made because you did mention
Yes.
in the show that you were looking for your boyfriend to put a ring on it.
Yes.
Any updates regarding that?
No, there is yet to be no ring, but
Ah, goodness.
we do have our 10-year anniversary coming up in a few months,
10 years.
and I have told him that come the end of that day, I will be engaged. Now,
Yep.
don't tell me the location, don't tell me the time, but by the end of our anniversary, I will be engaged. So he already knows,
Yep.
and he will obviously see the episode. And yeah, so that's not gonna be a surprise. So I will be engaged come my anniversary, and when I do, everybody will know for
Yeah,
sure.
as you should, and everyone should know. Exactly. I'm very excited seeing that. Very, very
Thank
excited.
you.
Wrapping up the interview just really quickly, got a couple more questions for you. What have you learned from being a part of the season of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under?
I mean, with my makeover challenge, that was something that I did not go into the show expecting. I didn't go into the show expecting to, to kind of sit in my identity and my culture as Whawhai. That's something that, I will never forget and something that can never be taken away from me. It's just that moment. And then I think just really, I mean, I'm a very confident queen in myself and what I bring. There were moments on the show where I had a bit of imposter syndrome being surrounded by so many amazing queens, but being validated in my perspective of drag, I think is something that I really took away. And being able to call myself an artist as well, and what I do and what I bring. I think not being a full-time queen over the years really puts you in a mindset of like, okay, well, because I do this part-time, do I qualify as a drag artist? Do I qualify as an artist? And so being on the show, watching the show, and walking away, I can definitely stand confidently in the artist that I am.
And what is next for you, Nikita, besides putting a getting a ring on
I know, I know, I know.
it?
Well, next year's, I mean, they say that the hard work doesn't start until after the show. Next year's so exciting. I've got DragCon, Mardi Gras. I'd love to come back home to do Auckland Pride. And I'd love to take the Nikita ball all around Australia and around New Zealand as well, and just really continuing bringing ballroom and the drag scene and also the queer scene together as well, because there's a lot of overlaps in it, but I think that we still treat it like two different communities. I mean, we are, but there are so many overlaps and integration with the communities. And so just doing that, I think. And I mean, I'm just gonna get more and more beautiful.
Purr. Love to hear it. Love to hear it. And we do absolutely love to hear it. That was the lovely Nikita Iman from RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under who made the top five. She was very, very sweet, had a very lovely chat, and yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.